To Arab Voices on KPFT Houston 90.1 FM. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of the show. Did you know that this program, Arab Voices, has been on the air since April 2002? That's right, over 19 years of weekly Arab Voices programming. Nearly 1,000 programs covering different topics, with more than 1,000 expert guests appearing on this show from around the globe. All of that has been possible because of your support to KPFT, Houston's community station, our community radio station. And it is time for the membership drive. Please call right now to support KPFT at 713-526-5738 and make a tax-deductible contribution or make it online at kpft.org. Every dollar counts. Think of the value you get out of KPFT and really for everyone who listens. You know that not everyone can contribute, but if you can and appreciate what KPFT brings you every day, please consider a pledge because KPFT relies on you, the listener, for support. The phones are open. There is room for your call. Help keep up the momentum. Call 713-526-5738. I'd like to thank all who called in to support KPFT and Arab Voices. It's not too late to call. 713-526-5738 or donate online at kpft.org. And that does it for the show today. Thanks for listening. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. Until we meet next week.
Hi, I'm David Brower, David R. Brower, and I add the R because there are 100 other David Browers in the United States, and that keeps me separate from most of them. I like the direction you're going in, KBOO, Portland, and I wish you had a lot more company.
Hi, this is Selva from Forest Grove. I support KBOO Community Radio because of the important multicultural and diverse programming that is offered, including those about transgender rights and my favorite news program, Native News Radio. Join me in supporting KBOO Community Radio. You can go to the website or donate through the KBOO app. Thanks.
Welcome to Sprouts, radio from the grassroots, a weekly program that showcases radio production by independent community media. We bring local stories to a national audience, produced at a different location every week.
In the summer of 2020, during a worldwide pandemic, a group of musicians met in an open-air pavilion in a small town along the banks of the Mississippi to plan an album. The musicians would come together over a period of 5 months to record this album. It represented a variety of musical influences and training, jazz, blues, country, classical music, and of course, bluegrass. Hi, I'm Dave Strudoff, member of the band Cooley Creek.
And I'm Stephanie Schubert. And for a special Mother's Day edition of Sprouts, the band Cooley Creek teams up with WORT in Madison, Wisconsin to talk about their tribute to bluegrass pioneers Hazel Dickens and Alice Gerard. The name of the album Cooley Creek created is entitled Matriarch, Song and Verse. Today, we will hear the band talk about their album, and they will share some poetry and music tracks. But first, who were Hazel Dickens and Alice Gerard? Here is some audio of them sharing their songwriting process at the San Diego Folk Festival in 1974, beginning with Hazel Dickens.
I think a song or anything like that has much more depth if you have been through something yourself or if you have seen something with your own two eyes, as opposed to reading something out of a book and saying, well, this is how you write a song. I've written a lot of mining songs. This one I wrote after there was a big gathering in Horse Creek, Kentucky, where people, about 800 disabled miners and poor people, were challenging the Social Security Administration because they hadn't received any money. And I was one of the people that sang for that. So after I got back home, I was really just thinking about all those people, and I kept seeing their faces, and I just couldn't forget them, so I wrote this song. He's a poor man, 'cause mining's all he's known. And miners don't get rich loading coal. He's a sick man, 'cause that cold dust took its stand. But he don't expect to get no help from that operator man. Well, it's goodbye, old timer. I guess your time has come. Those water holes, that dirty coal dust eating up your lungs. You'll leave this world just as poor as the day you saw the sun. Well, it's goodbye, old timer, all your mind.
Here is Alice Gerard.
I don't think that basically I'm a craftswoman. I think that I write as a mood, and I'm not particularly disciplined about it. It's a spare time thing between the kids coming home from school and supper and stuff like this. And the song basically came out of a feeling. Last summer, we had all 7 children with us all summer long, and I was about to go crazy, I swear. It was just an incredible situation. There, I didn't have any time to myself, it seemed like. We weren't satisfying ourselves or the kids or anybody else, and I just sort of got sick and gave up. Except that one morning I got up about 5 in the morning. I couldn't sleep. And I came down to the kitchen, and it was so quiet. It was just incredible. And I sat there for about an hour and a half, and I started writing this song. In the early morning light, I creep on down the stairs. Hush, you floor, keep your squeaking down. Smelling of the coffee and the silence all around, and nothing but my thoughts and the stirring of a song to break the sad, sweet feeling, Lord, of being all alone. And if I'm very still, I can drain this holy hour, and if I'm lucky, stretch it out to 2. Before the world comes crashing, and down the stairs comes truth, and smiles and tears and ratty hair, and I can't find my shoes. And I don't know, no, I don't know if I can make it through. But I hope you know how much I love you, 'cause I guess it ain't showing much these days. Just old dreams of yesterday.
That was Hazel Dickens and Alice Gerard speaking at the San Diego Folk Festival in 1974. Here to give more background on these Bluegrass Hall of Fame artists are country music historian Bill Malone and his wife, historian Bobby Malone, from the popular show Back to the Country on WORT.
Okay, I'm Bill Malone, and I created the Back to the Country show about 26 years ago, something like that. And I'm a country music historian. My last full-time teaching job was at Tulane University in New Orleans. But I wrote the basic history of country music called Country Music USA.
Hi, my name is Bobby Malone, and I'm Bill Malone's wife, partner, manager, and sidekick.
And a professional historian.
And a professional historian. Right. I'm also a Southern historian, but I've written on lots and lots of things.
Well, Hazel Dickens is the person that we got to know best. I first became acquainted with her music when we saw the wonderful documentary, which was about a strike labor management conflict in the hills and coal country of Harlan County, Kentucky. She did much of the soundtrack. Her style of singing was just so stark and haunting that it easily captured the attention of the listeners. Then I began to find out, of course, that she was also a bluegrass musician and had grown up in a traditional community in West Virginia. But like much of her family, she had moved to Baltimore, Maryland when she was a young woman, not too long out of high school. And she worked at whatever occupation she could find there, but she met Mike Seeger, the famous singer and folklorist, half-brother of Pete Seeger, who was also living in Baltimore. They brought out the best in each other. Of course, Mike learned from Hazel. He learned a lot of old songs, and he learned a lot about the culture from which the songs came. And Hazel, of course, found legitimacy. She wasn't really respected for her music until she met Mike Seeger. She always said that he legitimized what she did. And so together they grew up in bluegrass music. And that was also her introduction to bluegrass. She'd grown up with old-time ballads and folk songs and religious material, but she didn't really get acquainted in a big way with bluegrass until she moved to Baltimore and became part of the small group of musicians of which Mike Seeger was a part.
And her brother.
Her brother, at least one of them, maybe more, were also bluegrass musicians. And so later on, I guess through some of Mike's friends, she met Alice Gerard. Alice at that time was married to a fellow named Jeremy Foster. And Alice was totally different from Hazel. Alice grew up in an academic family, fairly affluent in California. And like a lot of people, she got caught up in the folk music revival of the late 50s and early 60s, and then from there into bluegrass music. So, of course, Hazel is this purebred, uneducated mountain girl, and Alice Gerard is this affluent daughter of I believe, a professor. But they started singing together, and they found that their voices complemented each other extremely well. And they were different from other women who were interested in bluegrass. Most other women, you know, sang in a sort of a low-pitched sort of harmony that sort of reflected pop music on it. But Alice and Hazel sang in the bluegrass style. They put their songs in the keys that were much higher than what most women had used. They did traditional songs, many of them drawn from Bill Monroe or the Stanley Brothers or the Callahan Brothers. And so their act constituted the first really traditional woman act in bluegrass music.
Was Hazel already writing songs for both of them?
I think Hazel had been writing songs since she was a very young woman. And of course, being a part of a bluegrass act, that gave her an incentive to sing more or to write more. And Alice Gerard also got into the business of writing songs. I guess throughout the rest of her career, she wrote songs too. Although Hazel became famous for her songs, she wrote in the traditional fashion, in the very realistic songs about human breakups and about death and tragedy and labor relationships and that sort of thing. But a writer named Art Menius used this term once, which I think is a very good one. He spoke about what he called the feminization of bluegrass music. And I think that's what Alice and Hazel did. They were the vanguard of the feminization of bluegrass. And since that time, of course, more and more women like Alison Krauss and Rhonda Vincent and Laurie Lewis and on have got into the business of performing in bluegrass. But Alice and Hazel should be considered the
mothers of women in bluegrass music, absolutely.
I think they revealed to other young women that it was possible to have a career in bluegrass. Earlier, women had usually sort of paled under the influence of, you know, dominant men like Bill Monroe or Jimmy Martin. But Alice and Hazel sang the music well, and they sang it in a traditional fashion. They used the high, hard harmonies that men had used. There was nothing namby-pamby or milquetoast about them. And I think they opened the door for people like Alison Krauss and Rhonda Vincent and Laurie Lewis and on and on.
Well, when I first met Bill and started going to bluegrass festivals, I never saw a woman perform with bluegrass music. To me, it was the most male-dominated form of music. It was all white and all male at the time. And so I think that the fact that they were out front, not just the bass player who might come in mm-hmm. and do a number singing harmony or something like that, that they were the act.
That they were out there in direct competition with men and doing it extremely well.
So I just think, especially in the kind of milieu that bluegrass was, it being so kind of hidebound to certain kind of a standard of like who were built in Bill Monroe's band and how did they look, and these women were not that at all, and they were
out front.
They were out front, and they worked to be accepted, and they were. So I think that they were mothers of women in bluegrass, and they were real feminist pioneers.
You are listening to Sprouts, Radio from the Grassroots, a weekly program bringing you local radio productions of national interest. I am Stephanie Schubert, and today we are spending time with Coulee Creek, a band that recently made a tribute album to bluegrass pioneers Hazel Dickens and Alice Gerard, entitled Matriarch, Song and Verse. We just heard some background on these giants of bluegrass from historians Bill and Bobby Malone, and next we will hear from Coulee Creek about their inspiration for this album. And we will end with one of their tribute songs, The Rebel Girl.
Hi, this is David Strudoff.
And Rita Mae Reese.
And I'm Sarah Jackson.
We are members of the group
Coulee Creek. Our new album, The Matriarch Song and Verse, honors the music of bluegrass pioneers and Hall of Famers Alice Gerard and Hazel Dickens.
The last free thing. You get a job in a can factory, in a restaurant, in retail, work all day and sing all night, turning air into sweet sound and hope, with the woman who twines her voice with yours, with the men who back you up, and with all of those strangers who listen. And so you can't settle down, can't settle for less. You cancel your credit cards and give up on owning a house. You learn to believe more in a picket line than a picket fence. You become the patron saint of honky-tonk angels who came from make-do and get-by, who worked for county dispatch, sold Avon, sold junk on the side of the road, sold things they shouldn't and sometimes stuff they didn't even own. But hasn't everyone? You watch your sisters get trapped, work as domestics in the boss's house and then in their own, their marriages a union without any union to back them up. Watch your brothers struggle to get air, the last free thing in this world. And when they can't, leave behind a body and no money to bury it. Every day, more men and women deep in debt and out of breath. You swear one day you'll live to see it. The air free again, and every single one of us, every bit is free. And that was The Last Free Thing by Rita Mae Reese. So The Last Free Thing was inspired in large part by Hazel Dickens sitting with her brother as he died from black lung. At the time, the coal companies were still claiming they weren't responsible, and the miners were dying without even leaving behind enough money to bury themselves. And thinking also about her sister, who she talked about in one of the being in a bad marriage, and her husband basically saying that he was just keeping her around to keep his house for him. And just the levels of being trapped that she saw the people she loved and cared most about, and watching them just struggle for freedom and air and not believing they were going to find that, I think was very moving to me.
Rita, what does Hazel Dickens mean to you?
Well, I knew when I first heard about the Matriarch Project that it was something I wanted to be involved with because I grew up in West Virginia and I'd heard of Hazel Dickens. I'd heard some of her music, but I hadn't really learned very much about her. But I agreed to write a series of poems and dove into the research, which primarily was just listening to her music on repeat. And it was wonderful. My whole family enjoyed that so much. She wrote this music about a mine strike, very contentious, violent mine strike in Harlan County, Kentucky. And her music is so piercing and totally relevant today. She captures the spirit and anguish of living in that region and working those jobs.
Rita, what influence do you think Alice Gerard had on her?
I'm really fascinated by their relationship. I think it gave her courage because she was always, I think, very confident as a musician. But it was really hard for them both, I think, to be women in the music industry at that time. And they were playing bars and they knew they were getting paid less than the male musicians they were with. And so I think if she hadn't had somebody who was from a very different background than she was to help her navigate that and to provide just companionship and courage, having that friendship, I think, enabled her to dream more for herself and her music than perhaps she might have done.
So, hello, my name is Sarah. I am the primary singer on the album The Matriarch Song and Verse.
What was a part of this, looking back at this, what was the part of it that you really enjoyed in this project?
When I first listened to Hazel Dickens and Alice Gerard, I thought how vocally or emotionally raw the music was. And I told our project manager, Dave, I have no clue how I'm going to convey this story. I'm also embarrassed to share that I never really encountered bluegrass music personally. I'm a vocalist who studied opera and jazz. So I was fortunate to connect with Alice by phone during the beginning phases of this recording. And we discussed how bluegrass came along. So Alice actually sent me a few unaccompanied spirituals and singings of The Day Is Past and Gone and Long Black Train, along with a few other songs. And so she took the time with me to go through the history that a lot of bluegrass is from a place of longing, and that it's rooted in African American spirituals. And so as a past music major myself, I dug my toes into listening and learning, really trying to find my own place and my own sound while integrating the history that I learned. Alice also gave me vocal pointers regarding the spectrum between bluegrass, country, and folk. And we also discussed musical freedom and interpretation as well. I thought it was really beautiful when we were talking about other covers. She actually sent me a few covers of her songs, one being Pretty Bird with Harmony, and how she appreciated different interpretations of music that she had created. It's amazing to look back at the history and see the path that has been paved by Alice and Hazel.
Joe Hill, the great songwriter and labor organizer, co-wrote the original music and lyrics for Rebel Girl with Elizabeth Gurley Flynn, a formidable women's labor rights organizer. She was aware of the intersectionalities of oppression, how being a woman and a worker meant that you could be left out of progress that ostensibly benefited you. She noted that at the time, husbands and fathers would often collect the wages of women, sometimes at the factory door, and the women would never see a cent of it. Jo Hill knew that acknowledging and including women in labor rights wasn't just important for women, it was crucial for the survival of the labor movement, which still gets painted as very male and also very white. He wrote, "The female workers are sadly neglected in the United States, and consequently, we have created a kind of one-legged freakish animal of a union." When Joe was facing execution for murders he very likely didn't commit, he wrote Flynn saying that he was giving her all the credit for the song in the hope she'd go out and find more rebel girls because they were needed and, in his words, needed badly. When the Smithsonian put together a tribute album for Joe Hill on the Folkways label, the producer, Lori Taylor, knew Hazel Dickens was the obvious choice for Rebel Girl. Hazel updated the lyrics for modern working women, but a manager of a more successful commercial trio pushed the producer to use them for that song instead. The producer, luckily for all of us, refused. I love what Hazel did with the lyrics. She changed the queer world to the more apt, cruel world. She changed "She's a Precious Pearl" to "She's the Strength of This World." And she brings courage, pride, and joy to the fighting rebel boy, to "From Maine to Georgia, you'll see her fighting for you and for me." And maybe my favorite revision, she changed "The Grafters in Terror Are Trembling" to "And the Bosses Know That They Can't Change Her." It makes me think back on the women in my family and the women I've worked with who, over the years, stayed true to their class and their kind, who kept their families fed as best they could, but didn't brook any nonsense, and knew, if not exactly how, at least that the system was rigged against them. I love the story of Rebel Girl and the Rebel Girls that passed it along to each other through the years. Hazel knew that the women, whether they were working in the mines or not, were crucial to the success of any strike, as you can clearly see if you watch Harlan County, USA, which Hazel wrote the music for. Rebel Girl has woven a lot of lives, a lot of strength, a lot of history, and an immeasurable amount of resilience together over the years. That's why we knew it had to be included on this album, that is a tribute not only to Hazel Dickens and Alice Gerard, but to all of the women who served as matriarchs, whose hands were busy passing along what was good and what was needed. From all of us at Cooley Creek, happy Mother's Day to all of the matriarchs and rebel girls.
That's it for Sprouts. You have been listening to a celebration of bluegrass pioneers Hazel Dickens and Alice Gerard by the band Cooley Creek with their album Matriarch, Song and Verse. Our contributors this week from WORT in Madison, Wisconsin were Shally Pittman and Bill and Bobby Malone from the popular program Back to the Country. Special thanks to the members of the band Cooley Creek, David Strudoff, Sarah Jackson, and Rita Mae Reese. More information on them can be found at CooleyCreek.com. That's C-O-U-L-E-E, CooleyCreek.com. Production assistance by me, Stephanie Schubert. Music you heard included The Rebel Girl, originally written by Joe Hill, and Elizabeth Gurley Flynn, revised by Hazel Dickens, and covered here today by Cooley Creek. Interview and musical audio of Hazel Dickens and Alice Gerard at the San Diego Folk Festival in 1974, provided by Sean Dulles at the Pacifica Radio Archives. Original poetry by Rita Mae Reese. The Sprouts theme music is Torpedoes on Tuesday by Poison Control Center. Sprouts is a weekly program produced in collaboration with community radio stations and independent producers across the country. The program is coordinated and distributed by Pacifica Radio, thanks to Brian David at Satellite Operations. If you or someone at your station has a radio production that you wish to showcase nationally on Sprouts, contact our air traffic controller, Ursula Rudenberg, at ursula@pacifica.org. That's ursula@pacifica.org. I'm Stephanie Schubert. Thank you for listening, and see you next week on Sprouts.
You're listening to Community Radio,
KBOO, Portland.
Welcome to Film at 11 here on Community Radio, KBOO, Portland. And now this.
This is Jeff Godsell, a contributor to Film at 11 on Friday mornings here on KBOO. At a time when truth itself is under attack more than ever, support for the arts must come from each and every one of us. Valuable resources like the programming here on KBOO need your help to continue the free flow of ideas and expression. Won't you join me